Library Chat, the monthly podcast by the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, where we chat about books and podcasts with library staff and guests. I am Sarah Williford, Library Director, and here with me today for our first episode is some familiar voices if you listen to our other Library News or Braille Bits podcasts. We have Denise Bean, our Youth Services Librarian.
Hello, hi.
Leslie Heinzler, our Special Services Librarian.
Hello.
Tyler Sweat, our Accessible Media Specialist.
Hello.
Leslie and Tyler have been doing the Library News podcast for over a year, and it is great for hearing what is new in the library, upcoming events, and about books. And Denise has been doing Braille Bits podcast, taking us through the Braille lessons and special guests learning about all things Braille. We decided to expand the podcast the library offers to include one that discusses books and podcasts around what we hope are fun and interesting topics. So for this episode, and because it's October, we decided it was only fitting to delve into the spooky and talk about Halloween, trick-or-treating, and scary books. So thank you guys for joining me this month.
It's great to be here.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
So we decided on our topic this month, and looking at books, listening to the podcast, it really got me reminiscing a bit. And growing up, we were big Halloween fans at my house, like dry ice in the entryway, so when you open the door to the trick-or-treaters, it came out, decorations and all of that. When we got older, the kids in the neighborhood put together our own haunted house, all of those good things. So I wasn't sure. So do you guys stick with traditional October fall activities, or do you go in for the Halloween and spooky?
Well, when my kids were littler and tiny, we had really traditional times where I'd just paint all their faces and get all this paint on them, and then they'd end up throwing a ghost costume over the top and hiding under it because they wanted to be funny in front of their friends. But I love this candy, the picking out the candy part and everything, but traditionally, yeah, we had traditional apple bobbing and all of that, but it was a lot of fun. But scaring the kids that would come up to the door was the best part of all. I love that.
You know, honestly, my family, back when I was a kid, Halloween wasn't anything that exciting for us. We did the trick-or-treating thing, and it was fine. My parents answered the door when kids came to the door, but it was never, like, a huge deal. So it's a really huge deal for my kids right now, so we have a lot of fun with it now. We've decorated our house completely this year, so we're totally decked out in Halloween.
You see, we've all the different ends of the spectrum on this. So I had two parents that both were obsessed with Halloween.
Yeah.
So even before my brother and I, like, my parents, they always had Halloween parties, and they would decorate the house to go through this haunted house to get downstairs to where the party was. You had to go through.
Oh, geez.
And so then when we were kids, like, we always had Halloween parties there. Like, it was always this family and just big group of people. So yeah, my parents have gone all out most years, so I kind of took that on, and just sort of, I'm working on, so they gave me a lot of their stuff since they don't do it as much anymore, so trying to, like, build up and decorate a lot more, so, but yeah.
Nice. It's funny, because, you know, like I said, we were big Halloween people when I was growing up, but my kids, like, trick-or-treating-wise, they could have, like, cared that, like, we'd make, like, one loop around our little neighborhood and they were done, because their favorite thing was to answer the door. So they kind of stopped trick-or-treating probably sooner than I would have liked, but they would rather answer the door.
See, my brother and I had, like, houses we knew where to go to. Like, we knew, like, this is the lady that gives this. And this person, like, we knew exactly what to skip and what to hit.
And you knew how much time you had and how fast you had to go.
Yep.
Did it down to the minute.
Now, I'm going to top all of this, and I know this is about, you know, the kids and tradition, but as an adult trick-or-treater, we would go trick-or-treating in this famous neighborhood that would be awesome for adults. So you go up to this house and you knock on the door and they would greet you with a shot of something special.
Oh,
well, the kids were, like, all outside
kind
being
of
scared by,
Yes. Nice.
I know, right?
Well, and it's got me thinking, too. So part of growing up in Halloween, I'm like, were books part of that? And, I mean, we watched stuff like, you know, The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, But I don't remember books. I only remember one. It was called The Pumpkin Smasher, and I can't find it anymore. Mm-hmm. But it was basically a witch keeps coming to the town every Halloween and smashing all the pumpkins. So the kids decide to paint a rock, like a jack-o'-lantern, and she can't smash it, so she gets mad and leaves. It's basically the summary of that book. So I was asking my kids now, you know, well, the one that's home, what if she remembers us reading any books, and she just kind of remembers the one she's reading now as she's older, so, but she remembered The Pumpkin Smasher, so apparently we had that at some point, and I passed this book on to them.
Imagine that.
So, while we're on the topic, let's talk about books. This podcast, Spooky Books, to be specific. And I know that Leslie reads some spooky titles because she and I have talked about the ones that we've read that in common, mm-hmm. and how we may or may not have, after reading some of those, avoided where our books are in the stacks in this building, or maybe didn't venture into a certain elevator.
Or look under our bed before we go to sleep at night.
Yeah. So I know she reads some spooky books, or horror, or whatever you want to call them. So I didn't know about Denise and Tyler, if you guys are into the horror genre.
So when it comes to so I love Halloween, but I'm terrified of horror films. I just don't enjoy the scared factor of them. I enjoy reading some suspenseful books and those types of things, but but usually it's not my favorite genre to check out.
When I was younger though, I used to love to read scary books, watch scary movies, but I think Stephen King is such an excellent, he does such a great job.
Yep.
And I think about everything that he has written has had some kind of, where you do get scared.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be at home alone, you know, reading these books or anything. But I have to say, though, there's been a lot of books that I've really enjoyed of his that kind of creeps you out if you're alone.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm the same way. I don't like the horror movies. They have to have a real, they can't be the slasher kind of, have to have a story. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I can do those. I can't at the jump scare stuff. And I'll be honest, the majority, if there's an animal in the scary movie, I spend the entire movie worried about the
me
dog.
Too.
Me too.
I'm the same way. It's just get the dog. Is there, I still hear, I'm actually listening to a story right now. And there's a dog in it, and I keep thinking, okay, and then all these mm-hmm. scary sounds are, and all I can hear is, oh, there's the dog barking, it's still safe, it's going to be okay. I'm the same way,
but
I know.
I think everybody in this room right now knows my feelings on clowns and dolls.
Yes, so the movie It would not be for you.
Or the book.
Or the book.
The book was terrifying.
Oh.
I read it in 7th grade and bad idea.
And with Stephen King, the one that still sticks with me to this day is when I read Salem's Lot. That one, I did not sleep for I don't know how long. And then, of course, my son was asking about it, and he read it at, he was kind of a young age, and he was so mad at me.
I was like, why did you?
He's like, and I think I go back to what Denise said, just his writing, and I don't know. He gets that in your head that this could be happening, right now.
Then you lay in your bed at night, and then you can hear all of these creepy little sounds and these weird, odd sounds.
That's why is that
and
fun?
And I know, that's really scary.
That's why you look in your
torturing yourself.
Is that a new sound or what? Yes. Get it.
So, I did some research into what was considered the quote-unquote best Halloween books, and it's not exhaustive research by any means, but it was interesting research because there are definitely different interpretations of what spooky or horror or Halloween books are. So I found lists that it was horror, scary, spooky, and they included both classics and kind of modern titles. But I did look at a lot of different lists and try to find the titles that showed up consistently or the most. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd just share these with you guys and see what you think. There's definitely titles that apparently have scared people throughout time. So we'll see what you guys think. So, like, the first five that were pretty consistent on the list were Something Wicked This Way Comes by Ray Bradbury, and then Dracula, Frankenstein by Mary Shelley, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, and Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark by Alvin Schwartz. So I don't know if you guys have... I can tell you, I am... Dracula I've read. I love the story of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, my kids know. Mm-hmm. I haven't read. And they said that that's scary.
Really?
Yeah. So, I don't know if you guys have...
Well, Frankenstein, my heart always just went out for him in the movie The Frankenstein. And there was just... And then they had different remakes and all of that. But that book, though, I mean, my heart just kind of broke for him, even mm-hmm. though, you know, he just seemed like this gentle giant, although it's Frankenstein. And
right, yep. Dean Koontz wrote a series kind of based on Frankenstein.
I love Dean Koontz.
I read the first one, and that one was really good. That's all I really kind of know about Frankenstein, but those books were pretty good.
And Something Wicked This Way Comes, honestly, I just know it by that older movie.
Yes, wasn't it a special on HBO or something? Like a
yes.
series? And it yes. was very creepy.
Yes.
Very
well,
creepy.
I had to read the synopsis because I wasn't quite sure like what it was exactly about, other than something bad's coming. So I'm just going to read this really quick because after I read this, I'm like, maybe I should read it. So, the show is about to begin. Cougar and Dark's pandemonium shadow show has come to Greentown, Illinois to destroy every life touched by its strange and sinister mystery. The carnival rolls in sometime after midnight, ushering in Halloween a week early. A shrill siren song beckons to all with a seductive promise of dreams and youth regained. Two boys will discover the secret of its smoke, mazes and mirrors, two friends who will soon know all too well the heavy cost of wishes and the stuff of nightmares.
Ooh.
And this was actually a screenplay that was written in 1958 with Something Wicked This Way Comes by Ray Bradbury. Yeah. So now I'm intrigued. So yeah. I'll have to chalk up some more nights of not sleeping.
So what you do when you're reading a scary book is you read that one for a little bit, and then right before you go to bed, you read something like Sweet Valley High or something really
positive.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
And fun. Where you know how it'll end.
Right.
So I kind of delved into kind of the next bunch of books, and they were more familiar to me. And one of them was The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson, which is now a pretty popular
Netflix
series.
Which I did not watch.
No, I tried to watch. So that's another one. So I tried to watch part of that, but there's like so much creepy in the background. Mm-hmm. So like it'll just be like us here having a conversation. And then you look and in the corner there's like this horrible
creepy
ghost.
Well, my husband watched it and he loves Everything Scary Movie, and that one scared him.
That
so
one
I was
did.
Like, if it scares you, there's no way.
Hard pass.
No way.
All right, hard pass.
You'll never drive your car and leave the house.
So then kind of after The Haunting of Hill House, are all things Stephen King. So we had The Shining, Salem's Lot, Carrie, and then one that started showing up more frequently was The Outsider, which is a newer book by him. But we were talking and I said what surprised me was I was waiting for It mm-hmm. To be on the list more often, and there was another one and it wasn't.
Cujo, wasn't that the other
Cujo,
one?
Cujo, yeah. So I think it just kind of shows what maybe people feel mm-hmm. is Halloween or spooky or
right.
scary.
There's a difference there, yeah.
And where me, if you throw a clown anywhere in it,
no,
it elevates to possibly the scariest book ever.
You know, I almost thought about wearing a clown mask for this podcast. This is going to freak you out a little bit, put you in the mood for it.
No.
And Cujo, though, yeah, with the ant dog in there.
Yeah.
Did no Goosebumps make the list? None of the Goosebumps stories?
Oh, no. You know, and I might have been looking at more adult.
Yeah,
I guess,
yeah.
But no Goosebumps.
I was just thinking that was a series that, like, my brother and I really liked a lot.
I will say, though, some of the other ones that I've read recently, I mean, so in my mind, too, I'm like, well, where's, like, Jaws? I thought, and maybe that's more suspenseful.
I wouldn't say it's a Halloween, though.
No.
Like,
that's,
it took place in the 4th of July.
Summer.
Like, it was very, like,
true.
Summertime.
Yeah,
like,
summery.
All of them took, you know, like, yeah.
But it's a spooky, I mean, and maybe it's more the suspense and the way he drags, you know, the
right.
way you get
yeah, but
sucked
I think
into the...
I wouldn't call it, like, a spooky film. Like,
did
it's
you
just...
know, I have to say this, for the movie Jaws, you made me think of that they're actually, they didn't have the funds to have a Jaws in a shark in the water. So a lot of it was created out of music. That's, you know,
mm-hmm.
that boom, 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 boom. So that was, there's a shark coming by the sound of the music because they didn't have funding to pay for that shark. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Another one that I read, like, in the last few years, it's been out for a little bit, since 2007, was The Terror by Dan Simmons. That was also, is that on HBO? No. Mm. It's a series. So that one, and what I liked about this one is it's actually based on a historical event. So it's the HMS Terror. They are part of the 1845 Franklin Expedition to the legendary Northwest Passage. And they get stranded, of course, trapped in the ice. And, you know, they're kind of waiting out the thaw. But so there's something out there with them on the ice. And there's it's a predator that's out there. Kind of attacking the expedition. That's not historical, but the the terror. And so I think what I really liked about that is it was scary, but also that they brought in
historical
kind of
part
this
would be
the
good.
Spooky
the
monster
spooky,
part
yeah.
piece into mm-hmm. into what actually happened. So
and on the ice, I don't know anything that's on the ice that you are remote always mm-hmm. seems a little scarier.
So, and then probably for me, another one I just read was, it's called Imaginary Friend by Stephen, I'm going to get his name wrong, Chbosky. He wrote Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I don't know.
So if you know Perks of Being a Wallflower, this is not, I mean, this Imaginary Friend one comes in and it's, I thought it was scary. And it has kids. It's got like kind of a Stand By Me... Goonies kind of vibe, but it's not a good adventure for these
kids.
Oh no.
I mean, I'm trying to think of how to. It's just a small town, tight knit community. A boy and his mother move there. They're kind of trying to get off the grid, kind of to vanish, and he ends up lost for 6 days, and you find out he was in these woods. And he comes back, and there's like a voice that talks to him in his head. Mm. And it's basically telling him that he has to build a treehouse in the woods by Christmas, or his mother and everyone in the town will never be the same again.
Wow.
So it's, yeah. And so then his friends come in to help, you know.
Interesting
but
premise.
It's, yeah.
It's creepy. So if you start building something, well, no, yeah. you have an imaginary friend, Sarah.
Voice in your head.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
So that was, yeah. So I don't know if there's any books you would add to the list or ones that stick with you.
I just always go back to Stephen King.
I do too.
Because I honestly try to avoid most scary books, even though Stephen King is my favorite author, which is so weird because I hate scary stuff, but he's such a good storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of get so pulled in and
yeah.
your mind just goes crazy mm-hmm. in the book as opposed to, you know, you enjoy the movie, of course, you get scared of the movie and there's all that sound that goes with it. But when you read the books, your imagination just goes crazy yeah. with thoughts mm-hmm. and different things. Mm-hmm. And I have a Pet Cemetery Boy. I saw that movie, but that one stayed with me for a long time, just in reading it. And mm-hmm. but yeah, all of his books are really good books.
They are.
Yeah. And he sold over 350 million copies mm-hmm. of books. That's crazy. That's a lot.
So one title that was rated number one for Halloween titles on many lists was The Halloween Tree by Ray Bradbury. And I've heard of this one, but I've never read
yes.
it. But it's on my list now.
Yes.
So I didn't know if anybody had read that.
You know, I'm trying to, I did do a little research on that. And I, The Halloween Tree, to talk about it now. Now my brain's gonna go blank.
Do you have a little?
I have
of a what it's about?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So it's set on Halloween night. Mm-hmm. 8 costume boys running to mm-hmm. meet their friend Pipkin at the haunted house outside their town.
Yes.
Encounter instead the huge and cadaverous Mr. Is it Mound Shroud? As Pipkin scrambles to join them, he is swept away mm-hmm. By a dark something, and the boys are led by the tail of a kite through time and space to search the past for their friend and also find the meaning of Halloween.
Ooh. I think the part that really kind of stuck with me, just trying to figure out their journey and just going through everything and that black, you know, just pretty scary. But yeah, it's you can almost make it relatable to your own life a little bit on that journey, trying to figure things out. And I do, though. I remember that. It's a great book.
I haven't heard of that one. I'm going to have to check that one out.
It's a great book.
My kids would like that as well.
Yeah. Because at first I'm like, Halloween Tree. I'm like, Ray Bradbury. I don't remember. And then I'm like, no, I think I remember, you know, it being on lists. But
it's been a while since.
So I thought that title fit in really well with the podcast we chose to listen and discuss. So well, we thought it would be interesting to pull in a discussion of a podcast that fit into our topic of the month for Library Chat. And Tyler and Leslie just did a webinar for the library, Podcast 101, that provided some general information about podcasts. So I didn't know if you guys wanted to share any general info just in podcasts in general before we jump into our discussion of the...
So I think, yeah, we covered a lot of this, so if you haven't watched the video or checked that out, it is on our YouTube page. But, you know, so the biggest thing with podcasts is that a lot of them are free and there's such a wide range of topics that exist. And so I think that's why we kind of are doing something like this, where we're a podcast talking about a podcast, just because we found that there's so much content that it's kind of fun to pick and choose ones that we just kind of like and want to talk about, so.
Yeah, exactly.
So, sticking with our Halloween topic, we thought the Stuff You Should Know episode, Where Did Trick-or-Treating Come From, would be a good one to kind of take a look, to listen to and discuss, so. Just really quick, the popular Stuff You Should Know podcast and video series is published by Stuff Media and hosted by Josh Clark and Charles W. Bryant, both writers at How Stuff Works. And it launched in 2008 and just covers a variety of topics in the fields of science, history, urban legends, and pop culture. So we thought their Where Did Trick-or-Treating Come From podcast would be a good one to discuss today. So I'll turn it over to Tyler and Leslie.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought, like, so I mean, trick-or-treating is something like everyone just does. You don't like think about the uh-huh. history of it.
Right.
And so,
yeah, you don't.
Yeah, and so not to go off on our first tangent immediately, but like I think with trick-or-treating in growing up in the Des Moines area, one thing that they didn't talk a whole lot about on the podcast is that here in the Des Moines area, we tell jokes
right.
in order to receive candy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it is very upsetting to people that are not from.
I know, it is very upsetting.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of pressure to come up with a good joke, mm-hmm. or it was.
Yeah.
And it still
is
today
yeah.
for my kids.
So
yeah.
I can speak to that. I did not grow up in Iowa. And I moved to Iowa, Southwest Iowa, and my first, going and having trick-or-treaters come to my door, I could not figure out, I'm like, what are these children doing? Why? Every one of them is telling me a joke, and you know how some of them just like
doing?
Freeze and say
yeah.
jokes.
Stage
and
fright.
I'm like,
yeah.
why don't they just take the candy? And they and so my husband who did grow up in Iowa had to explain to me that this is what happens in Iowa is a joke is told. So after that, but I tell you the first like groups of kids, I'm like, this is so weird. These kids are all like telling me these
See, like
jokes.
For me, I thought this was completely normal. Like I was like
yes.
24 until I found out that like other people don't do this.
No, I think I
like,
was in college.
Yeah, it was another coworker
yeah.
and she was like, I'm from Washington. Why do people tell? I was like, what? This doesn't happen everywhere.
So the other difference I will throw out there too that I had to get used to is, so I'm from Nebraska, and Halloween and trick-or-treating is on Halloween. Mm-hmm. So then I moved to Iowa and this whole thing about beggar's night,
right.
And it's not on Halloween, and I'm like, so you get a trick-or-treat twice? You know, I was very confused.
I looked up the history of that. I don't know if you looked up the history at all. So Dwayne Radisher did a really good article a couple years ago, but like, it was like 1938, and Des Moines had like this crazy amount of vandals throughout Halloween. There was like 36 maybe. And so they came up with an idea to just move the day of trick-or-treating to the night before and then promote it as something different. And then within 4 years, the crime rate had dropped on that night by like half. And so then it just stuck forever.
Like extend it to two nights.
Yeah, you would think. Well, literally, they're just promoting it as something different, and.
But technically, according to the podcast, they were just following tradition.
They were,
because in the past, those were nights where
yeah.
I mean, I can't think of which city it
they
was. It was like on fire.
Detroit, yeah, they're talking about Detroit, yeah.
And they
like
had different
600.
Names for it, like Damage Night,
yep.
and Devil's Night. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, so like literally it was this, well, because I think this pagan holiday of demons roaming around, and so people
mm-hmm.
would dress up and then just say the demon did it, basically, is what they would do way like in caveman times, you know, like. So I think it was just an easy transition.
I always find it interesting too. So I watch different shows that I watch around, maybe like with vampires or different things than that. And a lot of times in the books and shows, Halloween is the one night that they don't do anything bad. It's like a quiet night. So I just thought that was curious that, yeah. So in Nebraska, Halloween is on the day of Halloween.
Yeah.
But it is curious how things have... changed over time, but then almost it's cyclical.
Right.
And then we're back. But it always did seem to be, and what they kind of hit on in the podcast, I thought was, you know, it's the adults and then there's the kids,
mm-hmm.
and kind of the differences of what they would like to have happen on that night.
Yeah. I think trick-or-treating, like they talked about in the podcast, has changed a lot over the years. Like they were talking about trunk-or-treating and how kids now do that a lot, and they're kind of pinned into an area where the cars are and they don't really leave that area. But when I was a kid, I had free reign of that neighborhood. I was all
mm-hmm.
over the place. And it was pretty awesome.
You see, we lived on
your range got wider.
Because I lived on a dead end road, so we had like four houses. So
mm-hmm.
we would do the neighbors and then we would all drive, we'd drive a mile down the road to my aunt's neighborhood. And then we would just, so then my parents would stay there and we would just wander around and have to take our cousin with us. But it was...
And I'll probably date myself, but I remember clearly some of what they talked about with the issues with like the candy
and
the poison or
uh-huh.
the razor. And I remember,
yes.
I remember vividly the year that there was like no trick or treating.
I don't remember that at all.
Well, we had to, I mean, because usually our neighborhood had a haunted house, and so we had a party, but we didn't get to go trick or treating. We did like a parade around the neighborhood in our costumes, but.
Wow.
That was it, and I remember that's like the year of
no
trick or treating.
I have blocked that out. I don't.
Did you guys? Did your parents check candy? Because I know they talked about that
in
the podcast. Really?
Break them in half.
Really?
So I was one of those.
Never, ever did my parents ever.
I was one of those parents that checked the candy.
Uh-huh.
So my kids would come and they'd get their candy out. They'd be all, okay, that's homemade. Nope, that's got to go in the garbage. No, that's a popcorn ball. I don't trust that because you could hide a whole bunch of stuff in that popcorn ball. And I just throw that stuff away. So yeah. I was one of those parents, okay, that one's a, wait a minute, that's kind of funny. Looks like there's a hole in that Reese's peanut butter cup thing.
See, if I'm checking it, it's I'm taking the best ones out for me.
No, I'm putting and then I'm giving them
the Tootsie Rolls of the world.
I should restate that. My parents didn't check it until after that year of no trick-or-treat, because there was rumors of razor blades and candy and poison.
Needles.
So before we could eat any of it, we had to break it in half.
I never did that. That's a great idea. Break it in half.
Oh wow.
But now we're kind of back to, you know, I know we are waiting where I live. Will there be trick-or-treating this year? Won't there be trick-or-treating? Right. What does that need to look like? Yeah. So now we're kind of back to, you know, they're recommending you wash the candy.
Wipe the candy down.
Yeah. Store bought.
Yeah. Put the candy where you can still social distance and get to it. And, you know, for the trick-or-treaters, so.
Stand on my roof and throw it, kids. Toss it. Lob it. Lob it up there.
Oh. And I remember, too, the big school parties.
Oh, yeah. School parades.
Yep. I remember, the couple times at elementary school, they have the gym, like, decked out, like, the week of. Yeah, we had some, like Halloween mini games and stuff. Yeah.
I know on the podcast they talked about kind of their, you know, we all remember our favorite, that we got to wear our favorite costumes. I don't know if you guys have a favorite.
So I have like favorite kid costumes, and then I have adult costumes that I've like, as an adult, not like adult. So like a kid, the favorite costume was always I had to have a beard, and whatever the costume was, a beard. And so like Vaseline with the coffee grounds, like legit beard. So either it was like pirate, or it was a cop with a beard, or it was like spaceman. Like it always had to have a beard.
I can picture you a little kid.
I can too. I have the big blue eyes.
Yeah. And so my parents loved doing like making costumes. So that was their fine, you know, a lot of that stuff. So But then as an adult, The first year after I got married before kids, my wife and I dressed up as like super old people and like went out, and that was one of the best times we had, I think, doing that. And then to make Sarah creeped out, clowns. I love dressing up like a clown because there's just something about going 100% deadpan when you're dressed like that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, we would wear clown outfits too, Sarah. My husband and I would dress as a male and a female, I mean, if that's possible. But we would get big old fun, colorful, you know, big puffy hair and all that, and just get jovial tummy and the big clown costume, the big face. Oh, we just would have so much fun. But it was good.
My favorite costume I remember growing up was I was a butterfly. My mom had made it for me, and so the wings like attached under my arms and to my sides. Nice. So I lifted my arms.
Yep. Nice.
But I remember that because I got to like bedazzle and sequence my wings.
Sparkly when you're getting your candy.
But I have to say, my favorite, this costume in general, was my husband dressed up like Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter. And my son was a little guy, and he was the crocodile. So. Oh. They went out trick-or-treating together.
That's cute.
Oh, that is so cute.
Nice. I think my favorite costume, I think I was in sixth grade, and I was trick-or-treating, but then we were going to a Halloween party after that, and it was like our first boy-girl party, so it was really exciting. And I was like a 50s girl. I had a poodle skirt my mom had made it, and it was real, you know, very fluffy, and I had a cute little sweater and my little saddle shoes. I love that costume. I still have it, and I want Tessa to wear it, but she will not.
She won't wear it.
I'm trying to think what else from the podcast. I think everything, you know, they talked about, it was interesting to hear the history and, you know, where it came from, but then also, you know, just talking about, you know, the year there wasn't Halloween and those different pieces. And also, I think, you know, talking about costumes, they talked about, like, you know, what a big deal it was to be able to get that store-bought costume. Because I remember growing up, mine were always homemade.
Homemade costume. It's funny, though, when my kids were little, I would just sit there and paint and spend time on their faces. I mean, it was a beautiful face. They were looking good. And then we put the coat around them because they're cold. Yeah. You remember those days where you go to the store and you buy this cool costume?
Yeah, it's under your winter coat.
And then you put a coat over it, or you not wear a coat, you wear a coat under it, and it'd be all bunched up. But by the end of the night, the paint's off. It looks all funny.
Chocolate it's a whole over the brand face new instead costume, of paint.
All in one. Oh, yeah.
We were definitely my family was definitely store-bought. From like first grade to fourth grade, I was like Raggedy Ann, I was Strawberry Shortcake, all the plastic little frosting, plastic face.
Were you snapping around the ear? Yeah.
And it was so uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that was my first memories of Halloween, walking around in those plastic things.
And you try to see through the little eye holes where you're supposed to be going. And
My son still is a huge Star Wars fan, so he was always some variation of which always has those huge helmets that you can see nothing.
Yeah.
So I just remember, like, most of the time I'm like trick-or-treating with him and trying to steer him along because he can't, or it's crooked sideways. Yeah, so my kids don't have homemade costumes because that's not within my skill set. That was my mom, was amazing at that, making costumes.
Costume,
so they've always had
store
bought.
I think my favorite when I was a little kid, my mom would just throw a towel, a white sheet over me, and I'd be, there you go.
Your ghost.
Ghost.
Yeah. Your ghost.
Imagination
go.
Going.
Go scare some people.
My kids picked out their costumes this year based on masks. You know, we're all wearing masks. So Tessa is going to be somebody from Grey's Anatomy because she's obsessed with that
show. I love Grey's Anatomy,
she's 13,
by the way.
She loves that show.
13-year-old that loves Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, that's
then my son's going to be Spider-Man. He'll have a mask. But it didn't pass the lighter test. You could blow out a lighter or a match through the mask. So it's technically not great, but we're going to go with it.
Social distance.
Yeah. Social distance. Your daughter likes Grey's Anatomy.
She loves it.
I watched it Morning Gazette.
I do have one more question before we get off the Halloween topic. So looking back, did any of you get in trouble on Halloween?
I never did. I'm such a rule follower.
Yep.
I never got in trouble.
Denise?
I did not, but I hung out with a boy. I had a crush on this guy when I was 13. And he was bad and naughty. I went the other way because I thought I'm not getting involved with this egg tossing on the cart thing. So yeah, he got in big trouble. He Halloween night took his eggs because he was in costume and I had my ghost costume on, right? So nobody's gonna know me. And then he'd take these eggs and toss them out the cart.
Oh,
bad.
Did he get caught?
He got caught. Yeah, the police would go around.
Follow the eggs.
All of a sudden, their lights flip on, and here you got this, 12 or 13-year-old boy with the egg cart in his hand. And I'm in the ghost costume, and I'm out of here. No, he did get in trouble. No, I didn't, but...
About you, Sarah?
Sarah? Did you, Leslie?
Yeah, you brought it up.
Tyler?
My trouble, was it...
Should have.
Me and my friend, we had boundaries that we weren't supposed to go past trick-or-treating this year. But the good stuff, the good stuff is always, the good candy is always on the other side of that.
The grass is always greener.
Yes.
Scenario.
So we went a little farther than we should have. And of course, a group of teenagers, so I was maybe sixth grade. So a group of older teenagers pulled up and tried to steal my friend's candy.
Oh.
Which ensued in like a movie type scenario.
This is the most like movie scenario of kids, little kids going trick-or-treating ever.
So one jumps out of the car and grabs the candy. And then of course all four of us then grab my friend who's grabbed onto the candy. And I will say we won. They didn't get the candy and they took off. But of course we were all upset and traumatized. So we ran home, but then somebody let it slip where we were.
Oh no.
When this incident occurred and we were found out that we went past the boundary.
Oh, never to be trusted again.
That's the only trouble I got into.
Well, that's not too bad.
We were on the hunt for the good candy. Yeah.
The classic coming of age tale right there.
Right there you go.
For
a good
job at the bar. So before we leave, is there any last thoughts on podcast or Halloween?
I think we covered it all. It's a good podcast. I like that one. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for more spooky stuff specifically from that podcast and Iowa history, they do cover the Villisca Axe murder. I don't know when. You'd have to kind of search for it. Mm-hmm. But that podcast did a whole podcast on the Villisca Axe murder house. So.
And I would throw in, they do a whole podcast on Agatha Christie. So if you like that kind of, it's really good. Mm-hmm. About just her history, her books.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. Really good. So it's a good podcast to subscribe to.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to thank you guys for joining me, Denise, Leslie, Tyler, for our Spooky October Library Chat. I will take kind of the list of books we talked about for our listeners and create a list and put them on our blog to share with everybody.
Sounds good.
And then everyone else can lose sleep with us as you read those titles. So our library blog is iowalibrary.blog. But you can always contact the library at 515-281-1323 to ask about the titles or to get them added to your book list as well. And also on our blog, I want to mention, you can find our other podcasts, including this one, so Library News and Braille Bits. We also feature our podcasts on our audio cartridges, so you will get those. If you get audio cartridges from us, you'll also get these podcasts. And then looking to our November podcast, we thought that mid-November, we might need a little humor and laughter in our lives at that point in time. So for various reasons. So we're going to be discussing a podcast from The Hidden Brain. The episode is titled Laughter. And just a little bit about Hidden Brain. This is kind of their synopsis is Hidden Brain helps curious people understand the world and themselves. Using science and storytelling, Hidden Brain reveals the unconscious patterns that drive human behavior and the biases that shape our choices. It started in 2015 and it's hosted by NPR and the social science correspondent Shankar
Vedanta.
Thank you,
Tyler. Wow. I've listened to like every episode of that. I love it.
I hit that and thought,
that's good.
So another good, another great podcast out there on different topics, and so we will also put that link to that podcast on our blog. So we ask you to join us, listen to the podcast, and then listen to the Hidden Brain podcast, and then listen to our library chat podcast, and join us for our discussion. So. I just want to tell everybody to have a fabulous fall, a happy Halloween, and thank you for listening, and we'll chat with you next month.
Thank you. See you next time.
Thank you. Yeah.